Right? Wow. Okay. Representative Cox moves the minutes of March 21st and March 22nd, 2006. Sir, are there any comments or discussion on those two minutes? If not, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. The minutes are approved for 21st and 22nd of March. We're going to take the presentations a little out of order here. We'll start with House File 3805, Representative Vandiver. And the motion will be to pass as amended and referred to the Transportation Finance Committee. Representative Vandiver.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do have a technical amendment to correct an error, the A1.
Mr. Chair.
Well, I don't have the bill yet. I suppose I better get that too. All right. Questions or discussion on that amendment? All in favor of incorporating HCA 05A1 to the bill, please signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. That prevails, and you now have the bill in the shape the author would like it. Representative Vandiver.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The legislation before you is intended to designate a portion of I-35 and dedicate it to the memory of Officer Sean Silvera, who was involved in a fatal accident performing his duty on that stretch of freeway in the city of Lionel Lakes in Minnesota. And with that, I would just like to ask if Jennifer Silvera, Sean's wife, could come up and give you a little a testimony.
Okay. Welcome to the committee, Ms. Silvera.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for your time today.
Thank you. Would you put your name on the record by giving us your name?
My name is Jennifer Silvera.
Good. Okay. Your testimony.
Okay. It is my complete honor to be here this afternoon, and I am humbled by your interest and attention and appreciative of all of your time and dedication to remembering my husband, Officer Sean Silvera. I have been receiving many encouraging emails since my husband's death and cards in the mail, and one woman from Colorado wrote to me with the following quote that said, "Be kind, everyone you know is fighting a battle." And I am learning in our lives that our battles don't need to be compared in order to show compassion, and it isn't a matter of whose story is worse, it's a matter of how will we reach out. My husband was a man of compassion, and his life encourages me to live with strong convictions, showing love and kindness and reaching out to someone else who has a battle to fight. The message that this highway memorial sign sends a strong message. The message is clear. It calls out to all citizens of Minnesota, young, old, married, single, male, female, rich, poor, to be purpose-minded, to live in the moment, and to make the most of the present moment. With your gift in writing, Irma Bombeck wrote a piece entitled, If I Had to Live My Life All Over Again. It was a collection of thoughts that she wrote when she found out she was dying from cancer. And she eloquently states, if given another shot at life, I would seize every minute, look at it and really see it, live it, and never give it back. The Sean Favreau Memorial Highway sign represents to me a way of reaching out. It honors my husband for a heroic act in time, while also serving as a reminder to each of us any time that we would pass by it, to live in the present moment, to see the importance of today, to live the importance of today, to reach out, and to do what we can to show compassion. Some people have asked me what I think about on that last day that he died, and they ask me if I relive that moment of where I was and what happened to me. And actually, I don't think much about where I was or what happened to me. I relive the moment from the perspective of my husband. I relive the last 10 minutes of his life that he was coming onto that highway, the last 10 minutes that he would breathe and move and work. And I relive what was happening to him when he got out on Highway 35 at the turnabout. I relive something that I wasn't even part of, some place that I never was. I relive that he threw his stop six, that he was doing the right thing, that he was doing his job right. I relive that he was trying to help someone else, knowing that what happened that day, if it wasn't his life that was taken, there was a good chance that it would have been someone else. That fleeing car would have maybe struck oncoming passengers, maybe a family of five. Those are the things that I relive. And I wonder sometimes if I would have done the same thing. That in the last 10 minutes of my life, would I have shown such great compassion? He was an everyday hero, and his sign has a greater appeal, a message for a greater good. It has a message to treasure the life that we've been given while honoring an authentic, real, everyday hero, an unassuming hero that was willing to give the ultimate sacrifice. And with that, I believe that this sign has great honor. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your patience coming forward. It is a very good day. We have other testifiers.
Mr. Chair, we just have one other one, and if the member or the committee is okay with it, the mayor of the city of Lionel Lakes.
Okay. Welcome to the Mayor Ferguson.
Yes.
Please identify yourself for the tape. And
okay. My name is John Ferguson, Mayor of Lionel Lakes. All right. I'm here on behalf of the City Council of Lionel Lakes and the people of Lionel Lakes. We passed a resolution unanimously in our City Council supporting this effort by Representative Vandeveer to honor our SLAN officer, Sean Silvera. Sean Silvera was killed in a multi-jurisdictional effort by law enforcement officials to apprehend a fleeing suspect on Interstate 35. And we believe it would be appropriate for the state to take an action to honor Officer Silvera for his service and to honor the courage of Jennifer Silvera as she continues to keep before us the memory of her husband and our colleague. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mayor. We have other witnesses, or should we have someone from the MnDOT that would like to testify?
I think, Mr. Chair, that's all the witnesses we have today since this deadline. Take up more time right now.
Now or after this girl testifies?
Whichever.
Okay, well, let's hear from Susan Gold, Assistant State Traffic Engineer. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. My name is Sue Groth, and I work for the Minnesota DOT. I'm the Assistant State Traffic Engineer. And first of all, I do want to express my sincere condolences to Sean Silvera's family. This is very difficult for me to sit here and to raise a concern on a bill that's brought before you. We recognize, MnDOT does recognize, the importance of commemorating a law enforcement officer that has lost his life in the line of duty. Our agency works very closely with the State Patrol, and we frequently witness the heroic efforts of these individuals and daily see near misses on our freeway system. We support designating this portion of I-35 and I-35 as the Sean Silvera Memorial Highway. Our only concern with the proposed legislation is the erecting of signs along the freeway. Federal and state standards specifically state that memorial signs should not be placed on freeways, but rather at rest areas, scenic overlooks, or recreational areas where parking is available and provided. We'd like to suggest that a sign be placed at the Forest Lake rest area where people could stop and reflect on the life of Officer Silvera. We have done this same thing for Trooper Ted Foss that was also killed in the line of duty on I-90 at the Dresbach rest area. And I have a picture of that sign that I'd like to hand out to give you an idea of what it might look like. This sign, I've talked to some of the people from the Rochester area that work in this rest area, has received much notice by the motorists that stop, and has often brought up questions about what exactly happened to this officer and why is the sign being erected. And so because of that, we actually did install an additional plaque on that sign that went into a little more detail about when the officer was killed and how he was killed in the line of duty. Memorial signs are not allowed along controlled access freeways for safety reasons. We do not want to have someone stop along the freeway to take a picture of a memorial sign and then cause another distraction and possibly an additional accident. So that's our reasoning for wanting to place the sign at the Forest Lake rest area instead of along the freeway as written in the bill.
Thank you. Representative Hilbert.
And, Mr. Chair, we recognize that this is generally a policy bill and that we're at deadline, and in speaking with the bill author and trying to work out something that's suitable for all, what we would like to do today is move this bill to Transportation Finance and in the meantime work with Representative Van Devere and the department and see if we can find something for a location or a memorial that would conflict with federal guidelines, state guidelines, but certainly provide what would be an appropriate memorial for the fallen officer.
Thank you, Representative Holder. Do you have a motion, an amendment?
Mr. Chair, I do have an amendment that was just handwritten, but in trying to integrate it into the bill, I don't even know where it would go. It was just a statement that the commissioner shall work with the sign supporters to identify a suitable location. I don't know that it's necessary to amend the bill to say that, if it can just be the understanding of the bill author. It's on the record and the understanding of the policy committee. That certainly we want to, provide some type of memorial, but putting it on Interstate 35 would actually be pretty unprecedented.
With that suggestion, Representative Vandiver, I think that you would be able to work with Representative Holberg and the Finance Committee if we send the bill to Transportation Finance.
Mr. Chair, I think what the amendment would acknowledge is that we at this point don't have agreement on this, but we know that by the time it would come to the floor, and I assume in the omnibus bill, that we would have to have agreement or we would be in trouble.
And Mr. Chair, I'm completely comfortable with just having that on the record. Representative Vandiver is an honorable man. We can work this out. I know we can.
Anybody have any questions or comments?
Mr. Chair,
Representative Vandiver.
My only comment would be that we have I want to be clear that we are going to work on this, and that we at this point don't agree on it.
And Mr. Sheriff, Representative Vanderveer would prefer I can move this language as a delete all to your bill if you would like that as well.
Mr. Chair, Representative Fulberg, you could do that as a delete all. We were going to insert it because that acknowledges that there is work to be done on the bill, and that we do agree on. Could we insert it in the bill? Was my understanding earlier that we would be adding that language to the bill, and MnDOT had agreed to that.
Representative Holbrook, I think we have a 60-40 situation here, so maybe we should move the amendment.
Mr. Chair, the language that I was given that was supposedly agreed to by the bill author was the commissioner shall work with the signed supporters to identify a suitable location. And I would defer to Mr. Bress as far as where you would put this in the bill, because the whole rest of the bill prescribes a location that doesn't work, from my understanding.
Mr. Chair, members, I would suggest adding to current language that is on page 1, lines 14 and 15, and just adding in at the end of line 14, again on page 1, and location. So that would read, the Commissioner of Transportation shall adopt a suitable marking design and location to memorialize this highway.
Any questions or comments on that?
I wonder, Mr. Chair, I wonder if it might solve Representative Holbert's concerns if we said something to the effect that when we got to, I see what she's saying, when we got to the part of the placement of the signs, if in compliance with guidelines or something to indicate that that is, would that fix that?
Representative, I think we should, we're all in agreement that we want to memorialize the officer, mm-hmm. and that we want to obey federal guidelines, mm-hmm. and that we will have faith in each other and move forward on the basis that we're going to get this done to the best of our ability.
Okay.
So without screwing it up too bad, let's take the suggestion that council has given us and add again at the end of line 1.14 after design and location.
Mr. Chair.
I heard somebody.
I'd offer hopefully it will be a friendly amendment to Representative Holberg's amendment, and that would be to delete line 1.21 through 1.24 and lines 2.1 through 2.5.
We're at the point now where we're not accepting Representative Holberg's amendment, as I understand it, and we're going to accept counsel's. Am I incorrect?
Okay, I thought they were one and the same.
Well, all you're adding, Council, is any location at the end of 1.14.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Cox.
Mr. Chair? Well, I was just going to say, if we're going to add end location on line 14, do we deal with, on lines 23 and 24, where they're instructed to locate them?
Right.
Mr. Chair?
My point.
Maybe we should go back to Chair Holberg's original suggestion. There's a lot of wisdom in that, if we could, with the understanding that we are going to do our best to work this out between here and Transportation Finance. Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Chair?
Uh-huh.
Are you talking about the delete all and doing the commissioner shall work?
Mr. Chair, Representative Holberg, I'm talking about just leaving it the way it is. with the understanding that we will need to work on this between here and transportation finance, and I commit to do that.
So we are not voting on this.
And Mr. Chair, I think that's a good idea. This is a policy bill. We've done this before in the past when we've on deadline day run into a few glitches with a policy bill. It's not ready for the floor yet, but this is a way to work out a resolution that everybody can live with and then get it to the floor.
With that, any other question or suggestion? If not, we will move ahead with this bill with the understanding that we have all agreed to, that we will work things out. We'll have a suitable memorial placed in a proper location. So then I will renew my motion that this bill be passed as I think you amended it one time, as amended and referred to the Transportation Finance Committee. Anybody have any more questions before we vote? All in favor of that motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails, and the 3805 is on the way to Transportation Finance. Thank you all for coming in and Representative Hogan, you have a bill. 3637.
Mr. Chair, I do have a bill. It's a pretty simple bill. This bill is supported by the MS Society. Mr. Olin would like to testify very briefly, but the gist of the bill is that if you are a member of the Transit Taxing District as a community, Met Council will be required to continue paratransit within the boundaries of your community. So in other words, last year when they were looking at service cuts, one of the things that they proposed were drastic reductions in the metro mobility footprint as far as providing service. It's my belief that if you as a community are paying in to the transit taxing district, you at the very least should have a guarantee of the paratransit service in order that you might be able to support accessible housing projects, et cetera, the implementation of activity centers that may need paratransit service for your customers or clients. The Met Council is neutral on this bill, and again, it is supported by the MS Society.
Any questions or comments for Representative Hubbard? If not, Representative Hubbard, would you like to renew your motion?
Mr. Chair, I think Mr. Yolen just wants to make a brief comment for the bill.
You're not on my list. Go ahead.
Not a problem. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Joel Yulin. I'm from the National Multiple Sclerosis Society, Minnesota Chapter. I am also the co-chair of the Minnesota Consortium for Citizens with Disabilities. It's a coalition of about 40 disability organizations throughout Minnesota. Representative Holberg has actually touched on some of the points that I was going to touch on, so I will skip over that. But this bill is essentially all about trying to protect the status quo. We're trying to make sure that if people are living in especially the outer edges of the metropolitan area, that they can know with some level of confidence that they're going to be able to continue to receive service through the Metro Mobility Program, because we know that this is a program that is helping people with disabilities to stay independent, stay in their own homes, stay out of nursing homes, which, while it doesn't affect the budget of this committee, would affect the budget of the Health and Human Services Committee if people aren't able to access that. And so that's what we're trying to do here, is just protect that and make sure that people are able to live independently. And I'd be able to stand for any questions.
We're on it. No, we're on it.
Questions or comments?
We did this one.
Would you like to renew your motion?
Sir, I'd like to renew my motion that House File 3637 be recommended to pass and referred to the Committee on Transportation Finance.
All in favor of that motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails, and 3637 is on its way to Transportation Finance. Thank you.
Mr. Chair and Committee.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Representative Reeder, would you like to step up?
Sorry.
Thank you.
Well, we're up. You can make the motion, Representative Reeder.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair and members, House File 1730 deals with specifically a resolution. And, Mr. Chair, I have a technical amendment. Actually, this bill was presented last year by Representative Beard, and it didn't actually make it all the way through because the Senate didn't have it. And we have a wrong, if you notice the technical amendment, it changes it from 2005 to 2006, and to 2006, it's just a yearly change because of the amendment. And basically what the resolution would provide, is you're all aware that Amtrak provides a service to the country that we don't have in many other respects, and especially as far as something in competition with we've got some problems with air and other transportation modes. And Amtrak, if you look at your handouts that we had in there, it's seeing an increase of ridership, roughly about 10,000 riders a year, and with the sheets they have. And one thing I'd like to point out in those sheets, the area in northwestern Minnesota, the traffic ridership isn't on there because they all go across the river to North Dakota, so we're really missing probably another group of people that aren't included, and they're included in North Dakota, basically sheets. I have Mr. Chair, Mr. Qualley, for if he could speak to the resolution, he'd probably do a better job than I can.
Well, I think that we better move the amendment.
I move the House File 1730, or the amendment, too.
Yes, the amendment.
I move the amendment H-1730A1.
Is there any question about that? We're just technically changing the dates here, I guess. I'm in favor of that motion. Please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails, and your bill is now in one piece, as amended.
Mr. Chair, did I move the bill, too?
Oh, yes.
I did, okay. Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair, if I may, I'd like to present Mr. Qualley for the testimony.
Open with you, Mr. Qualley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Representative Leader, committee members. I'll be brief. We would simply like to ask you to support this resolution today, memorializing Amtrak, and I'll be happy to take any questions that you may have.
Any questions,
Mr. Chair?
Representative Hennessey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Mr. Qualley. What is the status right now of the Empire Builder? I know that that's been always on the chopping block as one of the lines that's always threatened with you know, being cut. And so where are we at with that? What have you heard?
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, Representative Hornstein. I'm pleased to tell you that Amtrak is in good shape at this time. The train is running on time. The train is clean. It is getting new equipment, some of the best equipment that Amtrak has available for amenities to the public. As you can see from your handout, the ridership for year 2005 was 182,000 plus riders, and we are hoping to keep long distance passenger rail in Minnesota. I hope that answers your question. If you'd, I can go into detail if you would like some of the policy issues that are at hand, but we'll wait for that question if you should ask.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Anybody else? Any questions or comments? Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On the green sheet that gives a little background information, it talks about most of the money being spent in Hamel, Minnesota. Can you just expand on that a little bit? I don't, what's in Hamel? I drive by it every day, and I don't understand. I don't know what did you do there.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, Representative, I appreciate your question. Thank you. There is a private contractor that bases out of Hamel, Minnesota, and they are a technical rail grinder and rail surface servicer across the United States. They have real technical welding and grinding and precision laser-guided equipment that is used across the United States for maintaining rail surface, which is absolutely important, vital importance to any rail operation. and particularly for high speed with Amtrak. Thank you.
Mr. Speaker, Mr. Chairman, is that Loran?
Mr. Chair, that's correct. The yellow Moran on the right-hand side before you get to Loretta Crossing.
Okay, very good. I know. No
way. You just said,
thank you.
No. Oh, well, rats. Any other Representative Olson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Pauly, I'm puzzled at how this just ought to be. I never dreamed that there'd be 25 million passengers every year on the train. And then the second whereas there, I've been finding it for a minute, but more people travel by rail than by air? Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Olson, thank you very much. It is. When you put together all of the commuter rail in the United States with Amtrak, as you should happen to ask, yes, that is correct.
Other questions or comments? If not, Representative Leader, would you like to...
Motion to send House File 1730. Can that go to the General Register?
As amended.
As amended.
All in favor of that amendment, motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails, and the House File 1730 is on the General Register. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman and committee members.
What do you want to do next?
Erdogan.
Representative Erdogan, you're the man of the hour. You arrived just in the nick of time. We're going to scratch your bell off, but as long as you're here, we'll take it up. House File 3759.
It says 315. I've never seen a committee exactly on time before.
Representative Earhart, the trains run on time in Representative Earhart's
committee.
What
is this?
Thank you,
I will move House File 3759. Recommended pass and referred to the Education Finance Committee. Representative Hill.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. This is the license plate. Oh, no, sorry. Bus transportation bill.
Okay.
And this bill aligns Minnesota's school bus standards with the more recent set of school bus standards adopted by the National Congress on school transportation. It deals with bus construction standards and transportation cost allocation. I do have, Mr. Chairman, an oral amendment that I'd like to offer, or would like to have someone offer for me. I would like these sections I would like deleted.
Mm-hmm.
No, section 11 on page 10.
Wait, just a minute. Okay.
Section 11 on page 10, section 14 on page 13, and section 15 on page 14.
Section 11 is on page 10, right?
I'll do it again.
Yeah, so 10 and 11. But just section 11, you want to scrub that.
Section 11, section 14, and section 15.
All in favor of the amendment to delete sections 11, 14, and 15, unless they have any questions, let's vote. All those in favor of that deletion, yes. Representative Thielen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Perhaps Representative Erdahl could just explain why he's taking these sections out.
These are sections dealing with suspensions, for bus drivers, for the most part, we have a little conformity problem in that now Minnesota law is 4 violations, and this would make it 3 violations. And also we're concern about Class A bus operators, how they are affected by this, or they would not be. They'd still be under the four, and the other drivers under three. Perhaps Mr. Peterson with me can explain it better for you, but that's what it has to do with.
We have any testimony on, otherwise we'll vote on your oral amendment here. Does anybody else have questions or comments? Yes, Representative Seibert.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Ertles, are these, you've taken out quite a bit of information here. Are these covered under someplace else, these violations?
Mr. Peterson.
Mr.
Chairman, I'd like to introduce my testifier, David Peterson.
Mr. Peterson.
Mr. Chair, my name is David Peterson. I'm with the Minnesota Association for Group Transportation. We represent public school districts.
Yeah.
We also have a fellow here that can represent the private bus companies. On this particular deletions, it's for a school bus driver has four moving violations in 3 years. We were thinking of deleting that from Minnesota law because some federal CDL standards went into effect on October 1st. Those federal standards are two moving violations in 3 years is a 60-day suspension of the CDL, and three moving violations in 3 years is a 120-day suspension of the CDL. Consulting with the Department of Public Safety, I think we kind of jointly felt that it's good to have both the federal standard and our state standard intact, so we requesting this amendment to keep the law as it is at this time.
So, Mr. Chair, so the answer is yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Other questions or comments on the amendment? Representative Hartman. All right. All in favor of the delete amendments for sections 11, 14, and 15, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. The motion prevails, and we now have the bill as amended. Representative Rudolph.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't know exactly how you wish to proceed. How you wish us to proceed, Mr. Peterson can go through this, by section or by page or. Let Mr. Peterson do that.
Thank you.
For this bill, there, Mr. Chair, there's two main components. One is Minnesota follows national school bus construction standards that are issued by the National Congress and School Transportation that meets every 5 years. And they met in 2005, and we're bringing our construction standards up to date with the 2005 standards. And we adopted 2005 standards entirely, and then have some Minnesota exceptions for evening search transfer for Minnesota buses, such as we'd have pilot floors in Minnesota school buses that are not covered in national standards. Another main component of this bill is cost allocation, and I believe we're covering that more thoroughly in the Education Finance Committee. And I also have Mike Moran from Brainerd to get some testimony on this bill.
Welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself for the tape.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Mike Moran. Excuse me, I drove down from Brainerd this morning. I was part of Minnesota's delegation to the National Standards Congress in Missouri, and was part of the body that adopted their worked on these national standards. There before you for adoption. So if there are questions related to that, I would be happy to answer them or attempt to answer them.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this does not include in the bill, but a question as a result of spending about 5 days on a state patrol workshop. Minnesota state law currently requires bus inspection every year. Is there any standard relative to how often buses should be inspected for safety in your little yellow book there?
No, there is not.
Mr. Moran. Is that prepared?
I guess. Is it great cost to the to the state patrol, and there was some discussion around should it be every other year, and so I was just wondering if there's a national standard around that issue.
The standards mostly are dictated by toward bus manufacturer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was wondering why seatbelts aren't required on school buses and if there's any move nationally to go to that standard.
Mr. Moran?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That item was discussed extremely thoroughly at the National Congress, and the overriding decision was until seats are so designed and the interior vehicles are so designed and constructed to allow a proper three-point harnessing system, safety of the students might be jeopardized by using just a regular lap belt.
Just to follow up, so the seats as they exist right now, they wouldn't work with a three-point seatbelt?
The current design of the school bus seat now would not work with the three-point harness.
And then just a last follow-up on that. Are there some efforts underway to redesign school buses? When I look at them and I see the shape and the configuration, I just wonder if in all the years we've been making school buses, if we couldn't have advanced maybe a little bit in aerodynamics and efficiency, and perhaps it's time to update to take into account the safety issue also. Is there any move towards a redesign?
Speaking strictly for the national standards, no, there is not.
Rector Harrison is next, and we're going to get to the here.
Thank you very much, Chair, and I don't know if it's for the author or either of the witnesses, but my question is on page 7, lines 14 through 16. There appears to be a provision where around, I think this is getting at maybe cost overruns and operations. But I don't understand the department can require the district to reallocate its transportation costs among categories. What does that mean exactly, and what are some of the examples of the costs that you're concerned about?
Mr. Peterson?
During the last session, the Department of Education was successful in getting a bill passed that called for allocation of costs on several bases, cost per mile, cost per student, cost per hour, be included. After that, I think it was passed, the Department issued a 60-page document of interpretation of the language that passed, and that documents caused us to respond in I think the bottom line is if we have an invoice that says a field trip costs $100, we want to be able to charge $100 to the field trip budget code. The department's language interpretation said you have to lump all the costs together at the end of the fiscal year and then divide them out into the budget codes. And for contract operation, we believe that's less accurate than the actual invoice amounts based upon the contract rates. However, another objective of the department is testing control on districts that are putting a lot of costs in the special ed transportation, because right now that's one of the only areas in transportation that still has a cost base, a cost reimbursement component to it. And we do agree with the department that there should be some type of mechanism to control a district that's putting an inordinate amount of costs in special ed transportation. The Department of Education objected to our particular language on this bill in the Education Policy Committee, and we're currently working with Tom Elcher Department to try and get some language that's acceptable to both parties.
Mr. Chair?
Representative,
just one quick follow-up then. So, in the language just before that, in lines 13 and 14, there's nothing in this bill that would put a ceiling on or depress the salaries and benefits of bus operators?
Mr. Chair, that's correct. There is no limitation on the cost.
Okay, thanks.
Representative Reeder. That's their leader. Any other question?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It may not affect the bill, but I'm curious, how many school bus manufacturers are there now, because we've had problems in the past with the one?
There are currently, correct me if I'm wrong, David, but there are three, Mr. Chairman, Representative, there are three currently in existence.
Three?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Are there any questions or comments? If not, I will renew the motion that House File 3759 to recommend the draft as amended and re-refer to the Education Finance Committee. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. The motion prevails and the bill is on the way to Education Finance. Good luck, Representative Rudolph.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, members.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, the folks are back from funeral cars, about those funeral cars. Now, we're going to take from the table both House File 1838 Blaine and House File 2734 Junkie were laid on the table on March 21st, and we're going to take House File 1838 from the table, off the table, and with the recommendation that be passed as amended, that bill, and we refer to the Transportation Finance Committee.
Finance, Mr. Chair.
Mm-hmm.
Did the finance chair request it? I don't know if there's any money involved here.
Mr.
Since she's sitting there, I thought I'd ask.
If not, we...
Mr. Chair, are you going to do the DE2 amendment?
Yes.
Let me read it a little bit. But
Mr. Chair, maybe we can present it and she can think about it while we're...
And then we'd be more than happy to just send it to the floor for ourselves.
Consent
agenda, maybe?
Mr. Chair,
let me
explain what we're doing, members, and I think this will really be simple once we're done. Representative Blaine and myself, along with the Department of Motor Vehicles, DPS over there, and the Senate, have all sat down and come up with this amendment. It's the most simple amendment we can come up with. And we've chosen Representative Blaine and Senator Coring's bills as a vehicle to travel on. There's no sense in sending two bills out. So basically the DE2 is to Blaine's bill. In it, what you'll find is basically what we talked about last time. What we're doing is amending the passenger car statutes. Originally, Representative Holberg, there was some concerns with DPS that they would have to reprogram and create a new category of vehicle. That is not the case. This is a passenger vehicle. It will be licensed with a regular license plate, just like every other vehicle. Nothing has to be established or set up specially. And they actually had some sections in here that they requested. One of them, you can't use it for driver's training. And there was something else in here. Their concerns have been addressed in this. Also, I would tell folks from the city of Minneapolis, St. Paul, Representative Cox, Trails Up North, when people ask you, where can you drive these vehicles, you can drive them anywhere a car can drive, as long as the speed limit is 35 miles or less on the street. You cannot drive them anyplace else where a car can't go today, these can't go today. They are literally passenger vehicles. There's actually an article in the Minneapolis paper, I believe, today. They run about a cent and a half per mile cost to operate. So they've become quite popular with the gas increases. But again, to this bill, this is strictly amending the passenger vehicle section. You have to be a licensed driver. You have to have insurance. These things have vehicle identification numbers so they can be addressed that way. They have the federal references in here that you see in this DE. All Section 48 require that the cars meet federal standards for passenger vehicles. That is, they need seat belts, they need brake lights and turn signals and everything else, windshield on the front. Everything that's required federally is required for these vehicles. They're just little cars that go on slow streets. That's what they are. So I hope this makes it simpler for the committee, because there was some, there were two bills up here before, and we've combined them into one, and we'd like to move it ahead. 35 other states have done exactly what we're asking to do here. And like Representative Earhart, the chairman said last time, I know we could wait till be the last state to do it, but maybe we can jump in here and move it forward before the other 15. And that's our bill, and we have the DE, so if someone would move to put that in for on the Blaine bill, and then we'd permanently lay mine aside, Mr. Chair, okay. And that's the vehicle we'd use.
All right, I'm going to move the DE to other figures, amendment to House File 1838. Any questions on that? We've kind of been explaining that as we go here. Just to make this bill in shape as you would like it, and then we will take questions. I'm in favor of the $8 amendment, to be amended. Signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Same sign. The DE2 amendment is now. Now the bill we're looking at, and Representative Hedberg was next.
Mr. Chair, I have a question, and with the DE2 amendment, my understanding is that staff didn't know what you were doing, that your DE amendment just came in late, and so I've read it. I don't need to see this.
Yeah. Actually, Representative Hedberg, the committee staff, I think, got it maybe yesterday. We worked on it last Thursday and Friday with staff upstairs.
Right. So, but I do have a question. Do these vehicles have to have a display a slow-moving vehicle triangle on them? And if not, what standard do they... I mean, what is the standard, and why do they not have to comply with that?
Representative Grant.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and Representative Hedberg. They do not, because these vehicles will be driven on low-speed streets, in other words, on streets of 35 miles an hour or less, and these vehicles will travel at 25 to 30 miles an hour.
And, Mr. Chair, to that question.
Okay.
And also, the other reason they don't need them, Representative Hedberg, is typically the full-speed vehicle signs, like on Representative Blaine's machinery and equipment going down the road. He doesn't have brake lights and tail lights and other things. These are equipped with that. So you don't need, you have the hazard lights already on it, so you don't need the low-speed vehicle sign, which would take, on Blaine's grain wagon, he doesn't have brake lights. He has to have that low-speed vehicle on to warn people that he could stop at any time or take a turn or whatever, and to be cautious of that. This has the turn signal, stop lights, brake lights, everything else.
Just like a regular car.
Regular car.
Representative Hornstein.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. And thank you, Representative Blaine, for bringing this forward. I support this. I just had a question on Subdivision 4. And now my concern isn't with slow movement. I think we should all drive a little slower, but like I do. On Subdivision 4, the concern I think in my district might be with our parks. And, you know, I've got the parkways and all the trails and bike trails, and I'm very reassured that none of these vehicles would be going on any of those. But when you say a road authority, would that be like any kind of municipality or county that, funds, operates, maintains roads? Is that the definition? So if the Minneapolis City Council wanted to restrict or prohibit in any part of town, that's what Subdivision 4 is about?
Mr. Chair, Chair Gaultz can help us, but that's my understanding. Road authority is the same people now that can set speed limits or weight limits on roads. If people have the authority over the streets that we travel, but he probably has a better definition.
Mr. Chair, members, there actually is a definition of road authority that's on page 2. It starts on line 10. And this is taken from the same, it's roughly the same definition as what's in chapter 160.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. I didn't see that.
States, counties, cities, townships.
Okay. Thank you.
Other questions or comments? Representative Holbert, there is a, as I understand it, a subject to registration tax. That's why we were wondering if it should be sent to...
And, Mr. Chair, as long as they're paying the tax, I'm happy. I don't,
it'll only add to it.
Right, I don't, I mean, if they're paying with the same standard as any other passenger vehicle,
okay.
I don't think this changes any policy, and hopefully lots of people will buy them as their third and fourth vehicles.
You don't want to make them sweat a little more and send it to the afternoon?
Mr. Chair, I do not need additional work.
All right.
Thanks, Mr. Chair.
Are there other questions or comments?
Yeah.
If not, I will renew my motion that House File 1830 as amended, recommended to pass, and move to the General Register. All in favor of that? Motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails and we're on the way to the General Registry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yep,
thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. Okay. We are meeting tomorrow and we so far at this time have two bills on House File 3438 Ruth and House File 3472 Junkie. Jim.